Hello, everyone. Welcome back. Today, I'm super excited to share with you a recording from Asana's Work Innovators Live that I did on LinkedIn recently. And we got together a group of amazing people. And what we did was we talked about what we think the most influential change in how organizations will work smarter in 2024. So we had experts on the future of work, and we debated our top predictions live. The expert panel was Dr. Kelly Monahan, who is the head of Upwork's Research Institute. She leads their Future of Work research program. There was myself. I focus on the brain states that are likely to be taken over by AI. Not sort of the brain states that will be taken over, the work associated with specific brain states. And that's the type of work that will get taken over or not, depending on the state that you are in. We had Dan Van Rossum, who's writer and host of Future Work and founder and CEO of Flex OS. He works to, there's Luna announcing someone at the door, helping people make the future of work happier. And Dr. Rebecca Hines, who is the head of the Work Innovation Lab by Asana. And she was the host of Work Innovators Live. And she focuses on the intersection of technology leadership and the evolving nature of work. So this is a fascinating conversation, definitely different than what I normally post on this podcast, but there's loads of insights here that I think are going to be tremendously valuable for all of us. So without any further delay, please enjoy this panel discussion at Asana's Work Innovators Live.
Oh my God, what are you drinking?
I mean, I probably should be drinking something stronger, just some water for right now.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like some magical concoction to you.
Exactly. Now, Dean, remind me, where are you based out of? You're coming, is it Singapore? Do I get that right or no?
My company is in Singapore, but I'm okay. Based in Vietnam. Yeah, so
wonderful.
Yeah, I'm up bright and early. It's finally getting light because it was so pretty dark when I logged onto the Zoom. I was like, oh, this looks bad, but it's getting light now. Yeah. Where are you based?
I'm in Florida, Orlando, so it's nighttime here. So,
oh, nice.
Yes.
Wow. What time is it there?
7 o'clock.
Oh, okay. Okay. Did you have dinner yet, or do you have to?
I'm going to wait until afterwards.
Something to look forward to.
Exactly.
Are all your predictions going to be, like, about food? AI will give us great tailored recipes and we will never snap a picture of your fridge and get some recommendation. Okay, Carly. Oh, that means don't swear. From this moment on, don't swear. Don't say anything offensive.
It's hard to do these days, Dan.
Okay, then in that case, let's just have a mindful.
It looks like we're live, so we're gonna give folks just a moment or so to join, and then we'll dive in and get started.
Sounds great,
Dan. It's pretty early for you in the morning.
It's 7 a.m., but you know, the future doesn't wait for anyone. Fine.
And tell folks where you're joining from.
I'm based in Vietnam. So I'm originally from the Netherlands, and then I lived and worked in the US for 5 years. And now I am in Asia for the past 10 years, and 9 out of those are in Vietnam. It's been fun. The country is developing very quickly. So I've really seen, especially the last couple of years, so many big office buildings going up. A lot of residential going up, like it's transforming very quickly. So I know this event is not about Vietnam, but if you're looking for a great vacation destination, it's nice and warm year round. It's like 90, 95 degrees year round. So whenever you want to escape, in case you have some winter where you are, then please come here.
I hear great things always. And Kelly's also in a destination hotspot.
Kelly, yes. Or I moved to Orlando, Florida about a year and a half ago once I knew remote work was going to actually stick for me in work. So I was done with winter, to be fully honest. So living the dream, and don't listen to the headlines. It's a great place to live.
Wait. I don't know the headlines. What's happening? What's happening in Orlando?
Oh, just in general, you know how it is in the States. We all like to kind of poke fun at each other where everyone lives. So Florida tends to get the brunt of a lot of jokes.
Ah, okay. You see, I'm blissfully ignorant. It's like, oh, that sounds like Florida. That sounds great. Yeah. Sounds warm. Sounds nice.
Disney World, beaches. Come on. What else are you looking for?
Right. Exactly. And Rebecca, you're based in...
I'm based in San Francisco, just back from Toronto for a few weeks. I appreciate a little bit of a warmer climate for sure.
Oh, yeah. How was Toronto?
Snowing, cold, but my family's from there. So it's nice to be by family for a little bit.
Oh, definitely. So what do you do when you're in snowy country?
Stay inside. Okay, so let's kick off. I know we have a big discussion today, meaty discussion. I'm Rebecca Hines. I lead the Work Innovation Lab, which is our internal think tank at Asana. Asana is a leading work management platform that helps organizations like Amazon and T-Mobile work smarter. Welcome to Work Innovators Live. This is our first time doing this, so very excited. I know we're joined by Kelly, who's an expert, and we were chatting about some tips before we joined, and excited to dig into the conversation today. I'm thrilled that we're going to spend today discussing some of our biggest predictions, some of our boldest predictions for the year ahead. So before we get into those predictions, a little housekeeping. We do have a chat going, so would love for the folks joining live today to ask questions, share comments throughout, and we'll try to adjust them as we go through. Great, so let's dive in. Joining me today, it's an honor to have three experts in the future of work. And what I think is interesting is we all think a lot about the future of work, but we approach it from slightly different perspectives. So Dan, let's start with you. Why don't you introduce yourself and your what you do related to the future of work?
Sure. So thanks, Rebecca and the team for having me. I'm Dan. As I was just saying, as we were opening, I'm originally from the Netherlands. I lived and worked in the States for 5 years, and I've now been in Asia for 10 and coming in from Vietnam. I had a corporate career in marketing. I worked for Ogilvy Advertising Agency. And after doing that for almost 10 years, I kind of woke up one day and I said, like, is this really that what I want to do with my life? So I actually quit my job. I quit my full-time job. I started my own company focused on happiness, originally as a paper magazine, which was a terrible idea. In this day and age, we moved on online. And so right now I run a platform called FlexOS.work, which is really focused on the future of work and how can we have a happier future of work.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us. Kelly, how about you?
Yeah. So thank you so much, Rebecca, for having me here today. I'm Kelly Monahan. I lead our Upwork Research Institute. So I've actually been studying the future of work for about 12 years now. So I'm super excited to be having this conversation today. I started off my career in HR. So HR, there's any HR people out on the crowd today. Like, those are my people. Start off as an HR generalist to really hopefully develop and change the world, right? And that's why people get into that line of work. And it was met with such reality right off the bat of all the tough work that goes into actually humanizing work, if we're going to be honest. It's really hard. Meeting with CFOs, COOs, where there's so much going on around the bottom line. And so that led me to go get my PhD to understand how do we as an HR discipline actually bring data and analytics to start having smarter decisions so we can make better decisions about people at work. And that's been my whole career and kind of my life mission now has been to really be hopefully a voice of the workforce of what people need and what they want from work. And it's such an honor to be at Upwork today. I mean, you know, we're a platform connecting freelancers with organizations and really empowering people to work differently and organizations to work differently. So it's been a great fit and really excited to be here today to discuss the future of work.
Wonderful. And something I admire deeply about both you, Dan and Kelly, is your approach to data and leaning into the data to understand these changing work practices. So we'll delve into some of that today for sure. I'll introduce Greg. Greg's going to be joining us just in a couple minutes. Dr. Greg Wells is the CEO of Wells Performance. He spends his days thinking about how to help leaders and businesses reach their full potential at work. He's a best-selling author. He's also a veteran endurance athlete, and it's been a joy to partner with him on some of our research at the Work Innovation Lab related to sleek leadership and also AI-powered leadership. Great. So let's dive into these predictions. So I think I'll preface this by saying there's certainly been no shortage of predictions as we approach 2024. But I think our experts here all offer a unique perspective and we can learn a lot from them. So Dan, why don't we start with you? What do you think is going to be the biggest shift in how organizations work smarter in 2024?
Yes, so I'm going to throw out a bit of an odd one today, as people may expect of me. Basically, like we all know that generative AI is going to expand even further. We saw in 23, you know, the big transformation of like not knowing anything about it to it really becoming a big part of how we work. We saw that especially among Gen Z and millennials, over 80% are now using Gen AI tools at least monthly. And so this is really something that is becoming part of the way that we work. My prediction for 24, though, is that it's going to be much more mainstream. So I think like everyone, even beyond the Gen Zs and millennials, will start to realize that this AI thing that people are hearing about is real. And also are going to start to understand a little bit more about the potential impact, both positive and negative. So I think that, for example, the IMF report that came out last week, which showed that 40% of jobs could be disrupted due to AI, I think people will start to really rethink kind of their job in light of how AI is developing. And so I think it's going to go two ways. One is that for the shorter term, people will look at, hey, how can I use this great tool, this great technology to work smarter and not harder? I really love this idea of a four-day work week. So basically, can I give AI 20% of my work so that I can, you know, maybe have a little bit more free time? And I think longer term, people will really think about, okay, you know, what is work even when a lot of the work we currently do, like emailing and chatting and updating and reporting, if that's all taken over by AI. And a lot of people get their identity from work. I saw yesterday McKinsey published something around 70% of people really get their main sense of purpose and identity from work. So once work becomes more automated, once it becomes more AI'd, what does it mean for me? Who am I? And so I think there's going to be more of a surge of purpose and identity for people as that new technology disrupts the way that we work.
Mm-hmm. It's really interesting. And I'm curious, Dan, your thoughts on, do you expect a certain group, whether that's demographically or by industry or sector or role, to experience this sort of soul searching and soul finding at work first?
Well, Rebecca, for sure, there are already people out there right now who are doing this soul searching, who are in industries that are very easily automatable, very easily AI-able. So think about customer service, people in sales and junior sales positions where SDRs are now replaced by AIs. So I think there's definitely people already who are looking at, look, this is the career I thought I was going to be having, and this is the career I may actually be having. And what does that mean for me? And what can I offer? A really big part of what I've been focusing on in the last year is also really thinking about how can we move away from this idea of a full-time job, of a full-time career, which is why I connect a lot with Kelly on the idea of, you know, could you do something for 70% of your time and then let AI do some of the other work and then maybe have time to do some freelance work for another organization or to lend your expertise to someone else? So I think we'll also see a shift there in terms of how people will spend their time at work. And I recently interviewed the great author, Alexandra Samuel, who said, you know, see your career as a winter coat. You know, you hope it lasts for a few seasons, but it's not gonna last your whole life. Mm-hmm. Right. So I'm really thinking that people will also look differently at careers.
Definitely. And Kelly,
is that a nice segue to Kelly?
I was gonna say, Kelly, any thoughts on that? But also would love to hear your prediction.
Yeah, Dan, that's such a great segue. And I love, like, this was not pre-orchestrated at all. So this is awesome. So Rebecca, I'm gonna be a little bullish. I think 2024 is gonna be the year of job disruption. And so the reason why I say that, like, as we think through, like, what is a job? The way that I think about it as a researcher is it's simply the way that we've organized the flow of work within an organization. It's the way that we exchange knowledge and ideas and really the central unit of analysis for the way that anyone who's been in organizational behavior, IO psychologists know, person job fit, role organization fit, like we've all oriented our theories and understanding of work around a job. Now, there's three macroeconomic shifts that Upwork Research Institute has identified in our work innovation report that is creating so much friction right now in the flow of work because of the way that we think about the job. The first is distributed work. I know from leaders, we surveyed about 1,900 global leaders, and only a third today, that's only 33%, said they actually feel like they're effectively working in a distributed way. And so there's just this, like, this need to know, how do we actually make work in a distributed environment? The second thing, though, is going to be around also creating open ecosystems. And what I mean by that is, like, how do you create cultures when so much of your top skills and talent might not reside within your organizational walls? If you need a top AI prompt engineer or AI content creation, we saw that freelancers were actually much more able to keep up with those skills and be on our platform and be able to actually meet those needs faster than a full-time employee, because they're not burdened with all of the bureaucracy that happens within an organization. And so what happens, especially from, again, I told you I'm an HR person, as we think through so much of our traditional staffing, it comes from this full-time employee model, which is still going to serve well. But again, we have to think outside of that from a macroeconomic shift perspective. And then my concern with this is, from a research perspective, is only 64% of global leaders today said they were willing to work with the best talent if it meant it was outside of full-time employee. So that's a little bit alarming to me, because I want, this is a mindset shift that needs to take place as we think about job disruption, to make sure that leaders understand the best talent might be somewhere else. And the third thing that Dan covered really well is AI. I mean, I'm sure we're all going to be talking about AI this year, but I think what's important is, as Dan already mentioned, AI is unlikely to disrupt an entire job the way that we've organized work today, but it is absolutely going to be disrupting tasks. And so how do we make more space and room for that? And I think because of distributed work, creating cultures that are more inclusive to alternative talent models and generative AI taking over a lot of the low value jobs, and we're going to be coming out with a report soon to really dive into that of what we're seeing on our platform. I think this is almost a plea as opposed to a prediction. We have to start disrupting jobs, or I think people are going to get left behind. And I worry the friction of work is only going to increase, and discontentment and disengagement will continue to increase unless we fix a unit of analysis of the flow of work, which is the job. Mm-hmm.
It's so insightful. And I see a comment in this chat here from Stetson, looks articulating the importance of not just looking at the people, but also looking at the systems. And not only are our organization based on people practices that have been ingrained in organizations for years and decades, they're also based on some systems that we know no longer work well for us in organizations. I think that's a brilliant point as well. It's going to be the combination of evolving our thinking around the people, but also the systems underlying them. Great. So Greg, welcome. We're so excited that you're joining us here today. Why don't you share your prediction? I think this is an especially interesting one.
And isn't it actually segues beautifully off of what Kelly just said around shifting to tasks and understanding that tasks are going to get disrupted. So I'm a physiologist. I love studying the human body. And so when we think about the way that the brain works, and let's say that you come to my lab and I put you in the magnetic resonance imaging machine, I'm looking at your brain and I've got electrodes all over your head, I can break apart your tasks into a few different broad categories. The first one's beta brainwave mode, hustle, focus, execute, get stuff done, very, very activated. If we cut the activity level in half, you enter into an alpha brainwave state, which is strategic thinking, learning, deconstruction, reflection, really navigating the world. Slow down even further, you enter into creativity, innovation, problem solving. Slow down even further, you just fall asleep. That's delta, right? So, but those first three are relevant to us when it comes to our work. So beta mode is hustle, focus, execute, get stuff done. I believe that those are the tasks that are going to get taken over and or automated through artificial intelligence. I still believe that alpha brainwave states, strategic thinking, navigating difficult circumstances, learning, although for sure you can get some assistance from AI, that is still primarily going to be human for at least the short-term foreseeable future. And then the creativity, innovation, problem solving, the true new ideas where we put two and two together, we have those eureka moments. That for sure is very human still and will probably remain so for quite some time. That's how I'm parsing it out. That's how I'm thinking about it. That's how I'm automating my life, my team. So that's at least maybe a little bit of neurophysiology that helps us to build upon what Kelly said and figure out what tasks are likely to get disrupted by AI as we move through this new era.
Interesting. And Greg and Kelly, even Dan, if you have insight in this, I'm curious, because we know AI is great at breaking down systems and large groups of tasks into individual tasks. How do we as workers and leaders think about breaking down those tasks? Are there certain classifications? How do we go about doing this in our day-to-day?
Yeah, I can jump in, and then Greg, if you have thoughts too. Thank you so much. I love the neuroscience behind that. It's just, it's so illuminating how much we probably designed organizations not to capture those alpha waves to begin with. So I'll take that offline. That's fascinating.
Yeah.
But I think, Rebecca, you asked a really good point. And, you know, one of the words, we engaged in research, crowdsourced research, with about 21 global experts last year with a company called Wikistrat to really understand this exact question. Like, what does this actually tangibly mean for organizations? We keep saying, you know, skills is the new currency in the future of work. We have to redesign jobs. What does that look like? The number one thing that we figured out through this crowd of experts is they call it taskification. So really, instead, like, we go so much to the job itself, and here's the responsibilities and in the scope, as opposed to say, one, start with the business problem. What's the business problem we're actually solving for? What are the tasks that then need to be completed? And then who are the individuals, the teams, and or even the bots and AI that can come along and form those teams to solve them? I think a lot of research has been done before, like in the Hollywood model, where they've come together to produce movies. I just think from a business design perspective, we're a bit far behind thinking of this very static organization as opposed to something that's much more fluid that can come in and out. But it does cause us to rethink through what is the business problem we're solving for. And it causes a lot more agility that I just don't think many of us are used to working in that way.
Interesting. Dan, Greg, anything to build on that?
Mm-hmm. Sure, I'll jump in quickly on that one. I think a lot of this has to do with us giving ourselves permission to slow down, right, in order to speed up. We have to give ourselves permission that it's okay not to knock things off our to-do list, but to think through priority management, not time management, to pick out the most important tasks that are truly going to move the needle for us. And then I encourage people to then think about what state do you need to be in order to accomplish that task? Of course, sometimes you need to get through your email. Sure. Block off all the distractions, get into beta, crush all those emails, get them out the door so that you can then get into thinking strategically about how do I navigate this world, or go for a walk outdoors in nature, leave your phone behind to ideate over the solution to a challenging problem. We really need to disrupt the way that we're working, give ourselves permission to work differently. And if someone in the organization wants to work differently, that we support that individual. Because right now, let's face it, if you go for a walk in nature at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, people are going to be like, excuse me, there's work to be done here. We really need to disrupt the way that we're thinking about the tasks that we need to accomplish and how we're getting them done. And the really interesting thing about this is when we do it, not only does it elevate our ability to do what we need to do at the highest possible level, it also reduces depression, anxiety, stress, burnout. So this is a mental health mandate as much as it is a mental performance issue, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's really, really fascinating. And I'm curious, there's a few questions in the chat on the rate of workplace change, and we're calling, and I think rightfully so, AI as a transformative technology that's going to significantly impact our workplace. Any thoughts on how that compares to, if at all, anything we've seen in the past, and how you're thinking about the rate of this change and its impact on our organizations?
Yeah, I think it's gonna overwhelm people. I think especially people who are not tracking it as closely as maybe we are. And obviously the people who are joining the event today, they're all on the forefront, right? They're also workplace innovators with us. I think it's gonna overwhelm a lot of people who kind of are not following it as closely, and who are kind of missing that this is actually going way faster than everyone thinks. I think one of the great examples is, you know, maybe 1 year ago, ChatGPT just had launched, right? Two months, right? We're just like 1 year and 2 months into it. And if you see like how much the technology has evolved just in that 1 year and 2 months, I think Veronica makes that point that the internet has been around for decades, has slowly, gradually changed things. But the way that the AI is changing and is improving is really stark. I just look at a very practical example. I was doing some blog post imagery with AI, with DALL-E at the time. And I was saying like, oh, I don't need an Illustrator anymore because I can now do that with DALL-E, right? And if I compare that image that I was really proud that AI could create just 1 year ago with what Midjourney does today, or maybe even DALL-E does today, right now it's rendering photorealistic pictures that you cannot distinguish from fake or from real, right? So I really think if you just compare those two things, if you look at like the capacity and the capabilities of ChatGPT 1 year ago to now, and then you look at some of the predictions and some of the features that Sam Altman has been dropping about ChatGPT 5, where he's saying it's going to be way better at reasoning, right? Which I think is one of the kind of silent powers of AI that people don't really catch on to as easily as maybe text generation or image generation, right? But this thinking partner that you can go to and give it your challenges and help you think through things and help you in your decision making, as Dr. Greg was saying, it's going to be exponentially better, is what he said, in the next version already. So the change is going to be extremely rapid. And I think that's why it's really time for people to catch up. And Rebecca, you've done a lot of research around this, right? But how can we get our teams with us on this journey? How can we get them to use this technology to their advantage as it will come fast and furious?
Mm-hmm. And oh, go.
Callie. I was going to say, Rebecca, I might take a little more of a contrarian view on this, if that's okay. Yeah. Just, you know, for the sake of a discussion. And Dan, listen, I totally agree with where you're coming from. It's funny, I've studied a lot of business history, you know, to understand the future of work, you got to understand where we come from. And I actually think if people who have been working with AI was created in the 1950s, you know, and like Noam Chomsky and Herbert Simon were making these predictions back in the 50s and 60s around generalized intelligence, and how they believed it was going to come to fruition in the 80s. So I think in some ways, from like a software engineer and scientist perspective, we're actually probably behind on the AI curve, and which is why we've gone through so many hype cycles. And so I do agree with Dan that this hype cycle that we're in with generative AI now is evolving rapidly, but in the context of history, it's been a very slow burn to get to this point. And I think what I'm more anxious about, to be fully honest, I'm less anxious about the speed of which AI is developing. I'm more anxious that our organizational designs and systems, as someone has already noted, are dated back to the 1920s. The majority of even what we're teaching MBA students today are all derived all the way back from that industrial time period. And if you look, we've rarely updated our management theories and the way that we think about organizations, the way we think about trust. Do we trust people to do what's right on behalf of the organization? What is the purpose of business? What is the purpose of the organization? Is it simply to maximize shareholder wealth, or are there alternative ways to go about that? Those are the discussions that I actually think we need to be having in order to keep up with AI, because AI is going to continue to develop as it has been over the last 70 years. We as humans, I think, need to continue to accelerate and actually ask tougher questions around, do we have the right theoretical assumptions around people at work and the way we're designing organizations in order to keep up with AI?
Yeah.
And I think that's where you'll see a lot of kind of Kodak versus Instagram moments, right? Where like large companies are going to fall behind if they don't adopt it quickly enough. Because you're going to have this three-person unicorn startup that's going to be hybrid or remote from the beginning, is going to have way lower overhead, is going to tap into AI way more. So how are you going to compete against that when you're not picking up on these technologies? And that's where I think Rebecca's research is so brilliant, because it really shows that it has to start with leaders, and you have to be much more transparent. You have to close those gaps to get everyone along, because you're not going to be competitive in the marketplace versus that hybrid or remote young startup that is using AI to its full potential, right? That's going to be a huge disruptor for a lot of companies, a lot of industries.
Mm-hmm. It's incredibly insightful. And I think, you know, we've talked a lot about the organizational level and systems at that level. We've talked a lot about the individual level. I do think that an untapped opportunity, and potentially one we'll see start to be explored and harnessed in 2024, is at the team level. We know that the way we form teams is broken. It's based largely on our org charts. It's based largely on who we've worked with in the past. And AI, in my perspective, really unlocks a new potential to start to design teams in a way that they're going to be most effective. You can imagine a world where we're matching people not only based on their skill set, but also based on their personalities, their work styles. And we can start to craft these teams that are not only more effective, but also able to work more dynamically and agilely. But I think, as Kelly, you've highlighted, it's going to be a learning curve. It's going to require us to fundamentally challenge the status quo of how we think about teams. Potentially, it's going to involve freelancers and people outside of the formal organizational structure. And I think that level of the organization, which we know teams are arguably the most important structure in organizations, is going to change. And I think that's both really exciting, but also an opportunity we need to take seriously as leaders and organizations.
And Rebecca, maybe if I can just jump in there and take that another level further about teamwork, I almost wonder if we can consider in the future that AI is a member of the team. And for example, I work a lot in medicine. I do diagnostic imaging. I'm an MRI researcher. And so what we have been speaking about is we know that AI reads CAT scans of breast cancer more accurately and a lot faster than humans do. So the future will involve a doctor and an AI assistant to double check and speed the work. It actually may even be reversed. And so, and I also write a lot of books, and I now know that my editor is AI, right? And that's different than it was in the future. So I almost wonder if having an AI as a member of your team in a specific role that enhances your ability to do your job, that increases our psychological safety, knowing that we have each other's back, we're getting all of the areas dealt with that we need to have dealt with such that we can be successful, which in Google's Project Aristotle research was the number one factor that determined whether or not a team is going to be high performing. If all of that's going to come together to revolutionize the way that teams work, but that mindset around having AI as a defined member of the team might be an interesting way to consider that moving forwards.
Interesting. We're just doing some research right now on what we call AI mindset. And what we see is that depending on your mental model, especially in terms of when we bring AI onto our teams, are we looking at it through the lens of this is a threat, this is a competitor, versus this is a teammate, versus this is a coach, this is a doctor? Depending on our mental model for these new teammates, it influences how likely we are to adopt and embrace the technology. And so I think, you know, thinking about this through the lens of AI is a new member of our team is important and going to be a key part of the future of work.
And then back to my big theme of happier future of work, right? Like that's then where we will get the advantage, right? If we see that we look at a team level, like what are all the tests that need to be done rather than just thinking about, okay, I need to hire five people and like one marketing generalist and one this and one that. You really look at like what are the tests that need to be done. And then first of all, look at like what AI can do, right? Take all that work out of people's hands and go back to something that I call meaningful productivity, right? It's not important that we're productive. It's important that we're meaningfully productive, that maps back to what drives us and what motivates us and what makes us feel that the time that we spend at work, which for most people is around 100,000 hours in their lifetime, that time is spent productively, but meaningfully productive. And I think that's really, hopefully, where this will take us.
Wow. Did that half an hour fly by as fast as you did? I feel it was a split second, but this has been such a fantastic discussion. I think a key takeaway for me, and we saw it with your last comment, Dan, especially, is that I think we all believe that the potential of AI is deeply human. And we know that AI is going to replace some portions of jobs, maybe some jobs entirely, but it has even more potential to augment and amplify our skills as humans. And I think as we integrate AI into our work and into our organizations, I know we all feel strongly that it's essential to approach it with this perspective of how can we use AI as a tool to make us even more human and amplify our human potential. So Dan, Kelly, Greg, thank you so much for joining us today, for participating, for taking time today. And thank you all for tuning in live. You can catch the next Work Innovators Live by following Asana on LinkedIn. And you can also visit workinnovationlab.com to read about more of our research. So thanks, everyone, again, and we'll see you next time. Thanks, Rebecca.
Thanks, everyone, for joining.
Bye, everyone. Thank you so much.
So fun. Bye, everyone.
All right, everyone. Hope that was super helpful. Really appreciate you being here and coming along for the ride. I know that was a different chat with regards to what we did with Asana, but I think that we are definitely going to be doing more of that in the future. These panel discussions are super fun, and we definitely need to be thinking about what the future of work looks like and how we might be able to move that forwards. So if you enjoyed that, let me know on LinkedIn. I'm Dr. Greg Wells on Instagram at Dr. Greg Wells, or ping me through my website if you thought that was interesting or if you have any questions or comments. All right, everyone, have a great week. Thanks so much for being part of the community, and we'll talk again soon.